Well, Happy New Year to all of you. Now, what's a better way to start a new year than having God's blessing given to you? We always talk about being blessed by God, don't we? Well, I'm going to give you a blessing. Yevarekaka Adonai, Verishmereka, Ya'er Adonai, Panau Eleka, Vehuneka, Yisa Adonai, Panau Eleka, Vayashem Lecha Shalom. I'm not saying that to show off, because my Hebrew, I needed to practice a long time to do it right. But I'm telling you, these are the words that Aaron was given by God to speak to his people. Those words right there. This is God wanting his name placed on his people. And that's what he told Aaron to say. This new year, it's good to know that God is blessing us. Now, this blessing isn't the same as, just saying, oh, God bless you after you sneeze. This is God's word that he told Aaron to put on his people, because I want my name on them, because then I will be blessing them. This isn't a blessing that was just made up by a worship committee of the LCMS. This is actually God's own word spoken to us. He wants this for you and for me. And this blessing is more than just words. God wants his name put on each and every one of you. His name. Now, when Shakespeare wrote Romeo and Juliet, there was a little discussion about a name. You know, a name, a person, or a thing by any other name. You can call a rose by any other name, but it's still a rose. In other words, words and labels don't really matter. That's not how it is with God's name. It means something. Because God's name carries who he is. God's name has all that he desires along, coming along with it, that he desires to give to you. An example is Jesus' name. Jesus' name means God saves, or God's salvation. That's who Jesus is. And then we also hear that he's called Emmanuel, that God is with us. And that's what he did. He was God with us, with you. And he still is that for us all. This is the name that was told to Moses to tell Aaron to give to his people after they had come out of slavery. Now, you might have heard, you might have picked up Adonai three times. That's how the Hebrews would have said God's name. Because when God told Moses his name, it was, I am who I am. But that word, that I am, has been lost to us as far as the official, what it may have actually sounded like, because the Hebrews didn't want to speak it, because that was God's name, and they didn't want to misuse it, so they actually would not say it at all. And the actual sound of that word has probably been lost to history. And the Hebrews replaced it with Adonai. Now, we say, sometimes you might hear the word Yahweh. That may be how it sounded, the original word, but that's what we call it. Or, in the New Testament, you'll see that word, Lord, capitalized. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the word that stands for God's name. And that's the name that he wants to put on you. Because he loves you. Now, God's name, I am, Jesus also used quite often in the New Testament, and it drove the Pharisees, it drove the Jewish leaders crazy. Because in essence, he was telling them, I am. I'm God. And they didn't like to hear that. They couldn't take that. They didn't believe it. They wouldn't accept it. But that's what Jesus was telling them. I am. I'm the one who spoke to Moses. I'm the one who spoke to Abraham. I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one who made this world. And that same I am wants to put his name onto you. The first line of the, as it's called, the Aaronic benediction is, the Lord bless you and keep you. Some pastors slip and say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. You may have heard that sometimes. That's not the way it's supposed to be, though. Because that word may kind of gives you the idea, well, it might happen, it might not. But God doesn't mean it that way. You know, when he puts his name on you, he means it. And there's also not a plural you. We don't get that in the English. But in the Hebrew, that last sound that I was saying all the time, that ka sound, that means you individually and you individually. This is God's putting his name on each and every one of you because that's what he wants to do. The Lord bless you. He wants to give you all that he has. And a blessing is a word that means good language or good speaking. God wants to say good things about you. As I was telling the children, if we take this alb off, all that's under me is a bunch of black. That's our sinfulness. And how can God say anything good about all these sinful people? But he puts his name on you, and he changes you. He makes you his own. And now he's going to speak good to you. And what are some of the good things he speaks to you? He says, you're my children. I forgive you. My son has died for you. His blood has been spilled out so that you are free from your sin. Those are good words to say. God loves you, and I'm bringing you home to be with me in eternity, where this world will now be cleansed and renewed, and you will live the way that I intended you to live. That's the blessings he wants to give to you. And he also says, I want to keep you. It's not keeping you in the sense of kind of keeping you locked up or anything. This is the sense of I want to protect you and hold you safe all the time. Think of in the sense of a father bending down, picking up their child and holding them tight. That's what our Heavenly Father wants to do. And that's what he has done. He's come down to this world. He's humbled himself through his son Jesus. He put on human flesh and blood, and he picks us up. He comes to us, and he says, you're mine. Let me hug you. Let me hold you. Let me hold you so that you can be certain that you are my child and that I care about you and that I have forgiven your sins. And even though he keeps us, it doesn't mean that everything's going to go swimmingly for us, because we know, look at Jesus, his only beloved son. He suffered and died on the cross. St. Paul, the great apostle, he suffered as he would go through the Middle East, through some of the European countries in those days in the Roman Empire. And he was stoned, he was beaten, he was thrown in jail, he was left for dead. But God kept him safe. Safe in his faith, safe in the knowledge that he was his because God had sent Jesus to forgive his sins. The Lord has make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Those are some of the wonderful words you can hear when God says this. I'm shining my face on you. And how does he do this? He sent his son Jesus into this world so that we can see God's face directly. Now you might say, well, haven't seen Jesus face to face yet. No, but you will. The day that we leave this earth and are taken into his eternal rest, at the day of our resurrection, we will see the very face of God in Jesus. And that face, he turned to us in love when he came to this earth to show each and every one of those people he walked up to that I care about you. You can go through the New Testament and see numerous times where Jesus comes up to someone and it says he looked at them intently. He showed them his face and he shined on them. He gave him his grace and mercy. He would lift them up from their illness. He would heal their diseases. He would let them be able to see, let them be able to walk. He would tell them, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. And even shine down from the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And then he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. And there he stands at the side of God saying, I've died for them. I've shined my face on them. I've given them the light, the truth that they are my people, that you have been forgiven. Jesus continues to shine his face on us when we read the scriptures. Whenever you read anything in the Bible that talks about Christ and what he's done for you, that's his face again coming and shining on you, reminding you of what he's done. And that's what we need to do, because we in this world sometimes can hide and try to run away from the face of God, as Adam and Eve did when they sinned. And we do that because we either forget or we are ashamed or we are going off in a direction that I'd rather go, but Jesus still wants to shine his face towards you and to remind you to be and be a part of his family always, and not to lose that. Because what we lose when we lose the face of Jesus is everything. And then the third part of that blessing that God wants to give to you and to me is, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, you've heard me say it a couple of different ways, like the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, or the Lord look on you with favor. Either one, but they all mean generally the same thing, that now God is going to continue to turn his face toward us. In the ancient world, if someone would come into the king's presence, they would know they are going to be okay if the face of the king would turn towards them. That would be the invitation to come in. And that's what God wants us to know, that he is turning his face towards us when we come to him repentant and humble before him. He will always turn his face towards you. No matter what you may have done, no matter what you may be feeling, no matter how terribly upset you are, even at God himself for how your life is going, when you come to him, knowing that he is your God, he is merciful, and he wants to have you be forgiven and receive his blessings, he will turn his face towards you. And he's going to give you peace. Not the kind of peace the world gives where everything is quiet and no wars are going on, because that's never going to happen. The wars have continued. We think if we go through the Great War, the war to end all wars, World War I, but we've seen many wars since then. Peace in this world is not going to happen. But God will give you peace. The peace that God gives us is knowing that we are forgiven children of God, that he will bring you into his eternal realms, into eternity for all times, where you will live peacefully with God and then with one another. That's the kind of peace he wants to give to all of us. And that's the kind of peace that you can have in your heart now. Even when the worst things are going on in your life, you can be at peace knowing that it's only temporary. The troubles and the trials we have here will come to an end, and God will make it right. That's his promise. Consider the parable of the prodigal son. Here this young man had gone off telling his father, in essence, I don't care about you. I just care about the money. I'm leaving everything behind. I don't want anything to do with you, the land, the family, nothing. And he goes and he spends it all wildly. And when he comes to his senses, he comes back. And there his father is there looking for him, watching for him. And he turns his face towards him. And he offers him peace again by welcoming him home. That's the blessing that God wants to put on you. And you notice it says three times, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Three times. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all working together to give you this blessing, this peace, this grace, to look upon you with favor. That's God at work in your life. That's God at work telling you, you are someone important to him because he suffered and died for you individually. And he wants to put his name onto you individually. In the book of Revelation, there's this reminder that as the angels are preparing to throw another trumpet or another bowl of terror to the world, they say, before we do this, let's make sure we seal the people of God. And we're sealed in our baptism when God places his name onto you. And that's what he's doing in this benediction, this blessing. He puts his name, the name of Yahweh, the name Adonai, the name I will, I am, and I will, and I am, is placed on your forehead, letting you know that you are his and no one else's. And he will never let you be taken out of his hand, as Jesus tells us. I think one of the wonderful things about this benediction, too, is that pastors at the end of the service, oftentimes they will do this. It's a reminder of what Jesus did when he left this earth. It says in Luke, he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. Now, it doesn't say what Jesus said to his people as he was leaving them, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was basically the same blessing. This time, I will bless you and keep you. I will make my face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I will look upon you with favor and give you peace. What a wonderful thing to know that this is what Jesus has done for you, that he's given you this because he loves you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.